Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we bow down with grateful hearts that we can gather. We thank you for the availability of your word, which you've so richly blessed this nation in, especially with many, many Bibles. And Lord, we are so quick to go after what man has said, and there's some truth in what man says, but only in your word is what is all truth. Only in your word do we really find out directly from one who's been to the dead and back. And so help us to listen to you this morning as we go back in time 1,000 years before Christ, to when this psalm was written. And yet it is such a masterful psalm and filled with thanksgiving for the historical things you've done for Israel, and also present, and also the prophetic things, which are still right on our doorstep, Lord. And so guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 68, and I'm so amazed I know so little about this psalm. This psalm is known as one of the finest psalms in all of the psalms. It's 35 verses long. It is quite an extensive coverage. You know, some of the psalms just have a small incident that you can kind of relate to, and we like that. But this is far beyond any one incident, because this has got the wilderness march in it. It's got the conquering of the promised land. It's got coming of Jesus Christ. It's got everything in it. But it's all related to the glory of God in his goodness to Israel. The third verse says, but let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. And I was just thinking this old hymn, a little over 100 years old, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. And the second verse has the word rejoice in it. And of course, this is what I was thinking of when I read the third verse. It says, but let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. So this morning, it's good news. It's not bad news. You can go outside and get the bad news. But we got some good news here. So listen up to the good news from God that he has for us today. And let's join the London Festival Orchestra here and sing joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Sing our sadness, cry.
So throw your coffee away. This is a lot better than that to wake you up, isn't it?
It'll wake you up. I love it.
Psalm 68. I would like to read the whole thing, but it's 35 verses, so I think for time's sake, we'll just go through it verse by verse. But I do suggest you spend some time on this with the Lord, because it is so rich. There are four verses in here that are said to be the most difficult four verses in all of the Psalms to understand. So we'll point that out, and so don't look to me for understanding, for sure. But the first part is pretty clear. Let God arise, or in the Hebrew it's He will rise God. He will. So it's very positive. Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate Him flee before Him. So this is just a glorious statement of the awesomeness of God, and His enemies are going to be scattered. His enemies are going to be driven away. Verse 2, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away as wax melts before the fire. Now think about what happens in a candle. Where does the wax go? It's gone. Some of it melts down, but most of it burns up. So what's going to happen to the enemies? They're going to burn up like a candle wax. The wax melts before the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Let God handle that. I don't think you have to pray that necessarily. This is an Old Testament prayer. It's not, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do kind of a prayer. Verse 3, but let the righteous be glad. Amen. Are you glad? Let them rejoice before God. Now, this is really important. We like to rejoice before man. Oh, you make me feel so happy. Well, but rejoice before God. This is about Him. It's not about us. Everything is about Him. Nothing about us. Everything about salvation is all about Him. There's nothing we even do except receive what He is prompting us to do. And the only way you cannot be saved is resist that and say, I'm not going to do that. I don't want it. I refuse it. And you condemn yourself. He never does that. So here we read, let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. So how thankful are you? How thankful have you been this past week? Yeah, I thanked Him one time on Tuesday. But just think about what He's done for you, what He's doing for you, and what He will do for you. I mean, it is just unbelievable. And we waste all our time. I don't mean we may waste so much of our time on looking around at the problems in the world. And we go to unbelievers, we go to cultists, and we want to hear from them what they're doing. Don't listen to them. Anybody that's led by the devil has nothing to give you that's good regarding God. They don't know Him. There's a whole move in the church today, demographics, and we need to be more like the world. And when we move that way, we've lost it all. We don't have anything to offer. No. The Bible says, no, you proclaim it, you herald it, you preach it, amen. The truth.
Yes, amen.
Not, well, I don't want to offend her. I know she's Jewish. I've got to be really careful talking to a Jewish person. Oh, I know this is a Hindu. I've got to be really careful with him. Oh, here's a Muslim. My, he might cut off my head. I've got to be, I can't. Tell him the truth. Tell him the truth. Okay, choir, you got to. You had to preach to the choir. You feel so protected, right? Verse 4, sing to God. Sing praises to His name. Did you do that this week? Extol or praise Him who rides on the clouds by His name Yah. Now, it's kind of interesting. Of course, that's shortened for Jehovah. How many times is Yah used in the Psalms? One time. How many times is Yah used in the Bible? Four times. Three in Isaiah and one here. At least that's what my concordance thing says. How many times is the word L-O-R-D used in the Bible? Almost 8,000. Now, some of those are small L, because L can mean a small Lord. And I don't have the ability in my, well, I didn't count anyway. I didn't count 8,000, I can tell you that. But there are, the majority of those are capital O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which is Yahweh or Jehovah, right? So 8,000 times. But here, this Yah, I read one commentary said it's a mistake. They should have said Jehovah. Well, I don't think there's much of a mistake here. To me, Yah, I know who that is. my God. And what? Rejoice before him. Sing praises, extol him, and rejoice before him. So we got our marching orders already for part of the things ahead of us today and this week, right, in the coming days. Rejoicing before him. Verse 5, look at the tenderness here. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows. Who are the two most vulnerable, apart from a baby in a womb? Who are the most vulnerable in society, basically in life? It's the fatherless and the widows. And yet God is their father. You could have the worst father in the world who is beat you up all the time or whatever else, but he doesn't. He is the father of the fatherless, the defender of the widow. Is God in his holy habitation? That's who he is. God sets up the solitary in families. I believe that's primarily the church family. Now, we have our own families biologically, and sometimes we're much more comfortable with the church than we are with our own families, right? That doesn't mean we shouldn't be there, but it does mean that for the solitary, for those who like to be alone, this is the place to be alone with this family, I believe. God sets the solitary in families. Listen to this. He brings out those who are bound. How about bringing me? How about his bringing you out of sin? All bound up in sin before you received him. But he releases us. He brings us out of those who are in chains into prosperity. Probably the most example there would be somebody wrongfully accused gets stuck in prison, but he gets you out, and not only gets you out, but he puts you on a prosperous position. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Verse 7, here's history now. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness. So 40-year wilderness march is here. Them going to the promised land is here. The earth shook. Remember Exodus 19, Mount Sinai, when the law was going to be given? The whole thing shook and this mountain smoked and the people were scared out of their mind. And they said, you go talk to God, we'll do whatever he says, right? But this is, you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens dropped rain. The heavens dropped rain in that desert never happens. It did at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. That's our God too, by the way. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary. Oh, how he does that with us as well. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided them your goodness for the poor. He takes care of everyone. Verse 11. Now, verse 11 to 14, this is the one that nobody can understand. So I'll just read it, and maybe you can understand it. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home divides the spoil. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon. So I know you got all of that. But if you really understand it, then write a book on it, because you'll be the only one. Some people see different things in it, but I'll just leave it at that. We do know the kings of the army fled when they went into the promised land. And we do know that she who remains at home divides the spoil. That could be the women who stayed back while their husbands went out and did the fighting. I don't know, but they were on the move. I don't know about... Anyway, could be. I think that's a good point. Could be. Zalmon is a mountain near Shechem. It very seldom snows there. And when it does, the snow disappears right away. So this is why we read, he scattered kings in it. It was as white as snow in Zalmon. It means they may rain for a little bit, but soon they're going to be melted away. You won't even see them anymore, I believe is what that means. Verse 15, a mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. Now, that would include Mount Hermon at 9,200 feet. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan, but the kind of ridiculing it's kind of interesting. Why do you fume with envy? Here's this 9,200-foot mountain, and that's not the mountain God's choosing. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. And he's talking about Zion, Mount Zion. Mount Zion is just a little hill, but it's the mountain that God chose. Verse 17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. We have that same given to us in Revelation, terms about untold numbers of angels. So here's the chariots of God are untold numbers. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Now we switch forward to Jesus Christ. This is now 1,000 years ago, of course. Well, actually, this is 3,000 years ago for us, but it's 1,000 years before Christ. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men. Of course, Apostle Paul picked that up in Ephesians 4, as you know. Even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. So pretty much these first 18 verses are primarily looking backward, although we just had the prophetic thing here in 18. Now we're going to look forward to verse 19. Blessed be the Lord. I love this one. Listen to this now. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. What do you think about that verse? Daily loads you with benefits. He doesn't load you with burdens. He doesn't load you with untold number of tasks. He loads you with benefits. Man, I wish Christians would live like that. Oh, I'm having such a tough time. How was your week? Oh, it was really hard. Oh, I don't know which was the worst day. They were all just, I was just so burdened up. Well, he daily loads us with benefits is what my word says. Can we recognize that? The God of our salvation. Wow. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. And then he just says, take a breath and let that sink in. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. So his salvation gives us eternal life. We escape death. What a God we have. Verse 21, but God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. Now, what is that about? You may think about Indians in the West, I don't know, with the scalp taken off or whatever. It's kind of like that, I think. Some see Absalom in that with his curly hair. Others see the Jebusites. The Jebusites had a saying, I understand. You know, they were in the stronghold when Joshua came in, and they couldn't drive him out. Israel was unable to take Jebus until David took it much later. And their slogan was, we want to scalp every Hebrew Hebrew, I guess it was in those days, that comes into this area, we're going to take their scalp. So it may be that. But anyway, God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea. And of course, there we can see the victory of the Red Sea and crossing the Jordan as well, it seems to me. That your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. So, very graphic Hebraic poetry here, isn't it? It really is. Now, this next section, some see the Ark of the Covenant and its procession from Odom Edom's house on into the temple in Jerusalem. Actually, it wasn't a temple in Jerusalem at that point. It was a sanctuary. That wasn't later. This is during David's time. They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. Now, that's where we get we can see the Holy of Holies. Because when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in it, was the mercy seat, or on it was the mercy seat, and that was really what made the Holy of Holies holy. And now Jesus Christ has become our mercy seat, our covering, and he is our Holy of Holies. But at this time, they brought that ark in, and we read here, into the sanctuary. The singers went before the players on instruments, followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. Bless God in the congregations, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company. That would be the two tribes of the southern kingdom. And a couple of representatives from the northern kingdom, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Verse 28, your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. I think we're really looking there, the future victory on into the millennial reign. That temple hasn't been built yet. It'll be built by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when the kings will come, I think, from all around the world. Rebuke the beasts of... So we're into the millennial reign here, I believe. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herds of bulls with the calves of the peoples, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. That till everyone has to be the millennial reign or the end times. It can't be today. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Of course, you... Millennial reign again. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Hadn't happened today, but it will. And then verse 32, sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord. This gets you waking up, doesn't it? Doesn't this psalm wake you up? I mean, it just kind of gets your mind off of CNN and all that other stuff. Or the campaign. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, to him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Well, just picture that. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. 34, ascribe strength to God. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. Notice that's plural. It's not the Microsoft cloud there. His strength is in the clouds. And then the close. Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places. That's a great statement. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Father, we thank you for this psalm. It just takes our breath away as we think of how great you are, the fact that you're God and we're not. And it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. Guide us in our prayer this morning as you would lead us to pray. And we do want to intercede for different things. And as you would lead us, Holy Spirit. However, we don't even know how to pray as we ought. And when we get in a group, it's even harder in a way. But as you lead us, may we pray that way. And if we're not being led, may we just wait on you. Bless each one because they came. And as we just spend this time in prayer, maybe be responsive to you. Let's pray. As we come a little closer to the end here today, verse 35 of Psalm 68. Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. So let's sing this familiar song, Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Sing like never.
Father, we do thank you for meeting us here and Help us to bless your name this whole day, Lord, every day. And just thank you for your faithfulness. And we just see a little bit of you, and you're just so unbelievably awesome. We just can't even understand how great you are. But you are God, and we're not. And so, Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for putting us in this little family. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Before you leave, on the fifth page today, this is not taking place of Psalm 68 by a long shot. However, in Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, we're in a very rich section right now in October, seems like, and this morning's reading I thought was good because it's the Lord's answer to the disciples' questions, Lord, teach us to pray. So here's a prayer meeting. So I want to just read this morning's reading to you. It's on the fifth page or the last page. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, Matthew 6:9. And Spurgeon writes, this prayer begins where all true prayer must commence, with the spirit of adoption, our Father. There is no acceptable prayer until we can say, I will arise and go unto my Father. This childlike spirit soon perceives the grandeur of the Father in heaven and ascends to devout adoration. Hallowed be thy name. The child lisping, Abba, Father, grows into the cherub crying, Holy, Holy, Holy. There is but a step from rapturous worship to the glowing missionary spirit, which is a sure outgrowth of filial love and reverent adoration. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Next follows the heartfelt expression of dependence upon God. Give us this day our daily bread. Being further illuminated by the Spirit, he discovers that he is not only dependent, but sinful. Hence, he entreats for mercy. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And being pardoned, having the righteousness of Christ imputed, and knowing his acceptance with God, he humbly supplicates for holy perseverance. Lead us not into temptation. The man who is really forgiven is anxious not to offend again. The possession of justification leads to an anxious desire for sanctification. Forgive us our debts. That is justification. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is sanctification in its negative and positive forms. As a result of all of this, there follows a triumphant ascription of praise. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We rejoice that our King reigns in providence and shall reign in grace from the river even to the ends of the earth. And of his dominion there shall be no end. Thus, from a sense of adoption up to fellowship with our reigning Lord, this short model prayer conducts the soul. Lord, teach us, pray. Thank you for being here. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may we bless him.